what Teddy did. He had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Teddy Bruschi being brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, Window Nation, by Kaplansky Insurance. They shop so you save at Kaplansky.com. And by Zudy. You can build any apps your company needs fast. Visit Zudy.com for details. Mr. Bruschi, hello.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
One week down. What did you think? First week for the Patriots, Cam Newton era. What did you think?
Man, it was, I don't think you can be any more excited by what you saw, because you knew what they were going to try. You knew what they were going to attempt in terms of the different type of offense, the run, the play action, the way they used Cam, and it all worked. You know, it all worked. Yeah, I mean, you had Fitzpatrick on the other side playing terribly, which helped throwing the ball to the Patriots' defense a few times. But, seeing the zone read, the one to Burkhead around the offensive left, and just, I still watched the game from the defensive perspective, and the edge man on the line of scrimmage to just wait and wait and passively wait to see where the ball is, and then make the wrong decision, because Cam using his long arms and the length of those arms really even makes the decision even tougher, because you don't know who it is, and then the running back goes out the edge. So just that type of stuff you just aren't used to seeing. The QB crack down on the goal line, when, you know, that's basically an old high school play, the toss crack, you know, with the motion across, but you don't need to use the running back and toss it, because it's just a QB crack and basically what it is. And if you're in man-to-man coverage defensively, you got him. And as soon as, boom, you see that ball snap, got him.
Yeah,
touchdown.
That type
stuff, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that play's going in the Fiend playbook. I know that. I know you wrote that one down. So wait,
you be cracked, Dante Bruschi going around the end.
So I agree with you. So it went about as good as it could, you know, right, Teddy? But what do you really know? I feel like if we're going to treat this like a college football season, no preseason, right? This is what Bill's been saying. You basically started with a division FCS school, Northeast Louisiana State, some chump school that you're just trying to get all your players in. But next week, you got your conference game. You got your USC. You got your Ohio State, which is the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah. I just don't think that you're going to get anything close to what you saw last Sunday.
Yeah, because what you get sometimes from Fitzpatrick is great play, but more often than not, you see the mistakes he was making, and that's just detrimental to the other team winning. So the Miami team, you're absolutely right, Foyer. They just looked clunky. So, you know, what can you hang on to basically on what you say you're saying? So, oh, they just played the Dolphins. Fitzpatrick plays terribly. You know, all of this, but I think what was real, and when you can know that that's going to be there for you every single week, is I was just so impressed by the dominance of the interior in terms of Andrews, Tooney, Mason. You see Isaiah Wynn out there throwing people around. I mean, the offensive line was just great, in my opinion, in terms of how they ran the football, and Cam being able to do the things that he did. It's just the movement that they're getting. When you watch it from the sideline view and you're watching on TV and you just see the line of scrimmage move 1 yard, 2 yards, I mean, I think there's real potential in this group again. Andrews being back is just great. So I think that's real, but you know, Seattle, it is a different beast. There's a different beast at quarterback. And then Jamal Adams, the way the Seahawks used him in the last game versus the Falcons, I mean, he was everywhere blitzing off the edge. So there's a step up in competition coming up this week.
Yeah, and I think, Teddy, I think when we've been talking about it, it was impressive. You know, the execution, the going out there, the way they won that football game. But there's still the questions that we have about this football team I don't think have been answered yet. Maybe we'll have more after the Seattle game, because I still look at the wide receiving groupings, right? I still look at the tight ends and say, you know, I don't think Cam can run the ball as effectively as they did. They're going to have to throw the ball 30, 35 times like everyone else in this league. And I still think those questions are there, right? I mean, you're going to find out about these wide receivers against Seattle, correct?
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, the strength of Seattle's defense, I don't think it's up front on the D-line. I mean, everybody knows I love Bobby Wagner as a linebacker, but you look at the secondary and now with Jamal Adams there, that's the strength. So this will be a test for him. I mean, I talked to you last week, guys, about the importance of N'Keal Harry and Cam loving those big receivers, and they want to get him going. I wish he had a better play on the goal line and didn't fumble it through, but still, that type of relationship we still have to see develops. You talk about the tight end position, and, I mean, one of the most impressive plays that I saw was when you watched it live, you couldn't really see it. It was the catch to Izzo. But if you go on the game pass and you look at the coach's tape, you can see how Izzo, it's like he was running an over. But the defender in man coverage, Foyer knows this, he was like overplaying him, and Izzo just, it looked like he just stopped his route, started going the other side, and Cam just waited, and it's like, I know exactly what you're doing, and he hit him. And I'm like, they're doing that already? So that type of, you know, relationship, that type of chemistry, it takes all of that. And then you saw that right there on that drive. So that was something that I thought was really impressive in terms of the tight end position.
Teddy Bruschi joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, as he does every Wednesday. So you're right. It was the bad fitsy we got. Miami has no running game, but I want to get your take on the defense. Now, we saw some good stuff from Adrian Phillips, the guy they brought over in the offseason. Winovich made some good plays. What was your whole take defensively with this team? And, Teddy, with the linebackers gone, they look to play a lot of nickel, dime, seven DBs back there to kind of make up for it.
Yeah, I think that was a combination of, you know, a lot of new players in there, but also with Gesicki, I mean, I think they just considered him like a wide receiver, so they brought in some more DBs. I mean, I had a great time watching the defense because, I mean, seeing Juwan Bentley, a little bit of Jennings, I mean, how they would, they're just playing the same roles of the old Hightower role and the Vanna, those type of things, and in the A-gaps, dropping out, those type of things. You see them developing into those roles. They'll start making plays from there. But I think mostly I was like, Where's the Chung role also, which is so important to the defense, and seeing Adrian Phillips, Terrence Brooks, Kyle Duggar a little bit in there at the linebacker level, almost like, I mean, did they treat it almost like a preseason in terms of this guy needs to get that many reps, we got to see him too, and then see him too, and let's continue our evaluation. But to see all those safeties in there doing various different things, I thought it was good. When you get a couple PI calls in week one, like Stephon did, like Gilmore did, I mean, it's the officials watch the film, you know, and they'll look at it and say, okay, this crew called a couple pass interference calls on 24. We got to keep an eye on him, because if they put him on DK Metcalf, it's going to be just a wrestling match the entire time. So that's a matchup to look for this week, because, I mean, the officials watched the film, and you know, there were a couple flags on the ground.
So we're talking to Teddy Bruschi, and we all know who he is, so let's not give a whole resume for Teddy. I got to get your opinion on Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. Because Bruce Arians, in my opinion, was you know, he's pretty critical of him, I guess, when it comes to, you know, coach on player crime. He's, you know, kind of blamed him for the interception, and then he kind of walked it back on Monday. I don't know if that's going to work. I'm curious, you know, what you thought about how he treated Tom, not the actual play of Tom Brady, but the relationship of how it started between Bruce Arians and Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I think the one thing you got to know is it isn't just starting now in terms of these post game comments after a game. And I think Tom's going to get to know Bruce Arians, and he just speaks the truth. I think in the same interview, he really ripped their left tackle in terms of, he even said something like he was blocking not even their best guy, and he couldn't get it done. And I'm like, holy smoke, this guy gives up information. But like weeks prior, guys, in the preseason and during the practice, not the preseason, but like the practices, BA was very complimentary towards Tom Brady. Talking, I've heard some press conferences during the practice sessions too, during training camp, and he was effusive about everything that was going well. So I think Tom's got to know it's going to go well. And so if Tom plays well next week versus the Panthers, I believe it is, I mean, then BA is going to probably be effusive, but you're going to get both. And this is a coach that now gives details. And that's what you weren't used to when a coach is talking about Brady. It's like outcut, overthrow, against cover two, can't be low and away, those type of things. No. You never got any of that in terms of specifics you could look at as a fan, but you're going to get it now.
Teddy, what do you think of Tom's performance in that game, first game?
Some good, some really bad. And, I mean, you can't, he said it himself, you can't throw the ball away a couple times the way he did. I mean, it's just that I think that he's got to get used to the system also, but two picks and a pick six isn't the way you want to start. It was not a good performance. That's just anybody could see it. And, I mean, he's got to bounce back. I mean, it's not going to be like that in the entire year, but have we seen Tom play like this before? We have. You know, we just haven't seen a coach call him out like this before. So, I mean, this specific. But it'll get better. It'll get better. Tampa will be better, and they'll be a good team.
Is there a problem with the two different ideas of what they want for a system, what Tom Brady has come there with, and what Bruce Arians? A lot of people are saying that Arians is pretty much dictating where he wants to go with the offense, and that his offense, he likes to spread them out, and he likes to have the quarterback wait back there in the pocket. It's one reason they get a lot of sacks on quarterbacks, and they get quite a few interceptions. Tom Brady, we know here, short little passing game, move the sticks, quick get rid of the ball, and as you just said, he got rid of the ball out of bounds a couple times. We saw that a lot last year. Is there a merging here of these two different systems that might not work?
Yeah, if they don't merge, it's not going to work, because if Arians just wants to, you know, 5 and 7 step drop, you know, from the jump, and that's all he does, he wants to push it downfield, and he wants to run the outcuts from the far hash, and Tom's got to make those throws is what's going to happen. And you got a left tackle that can't protect. You got a 43-year-old quarterback that's going to take more hits because you want to throw the ball down the field. So if BA is going to be stubborn, Brady won't last the season. And I'll tell you that right now, because if they don't mix in, you know, the slot receivers, the Godwins, the running backs, those type of things, he's going to take more hits and he's not going to survive.
And you're not great at the tackle position. You got a rookie playing it right on the right side.
It's not. And I, some coaches think that, so they're stubborn. A lot of coaches are stubborn. This is what I run. This is what it's going to be. But, like, a lot of running quarterbacks, like the Wilsons, like the Patriots are going up against next week, it's like you call the play in the huddle, right? And then the huddle, the ball is snapped. He drops back. There's the play. But the play doesn't work. Then it becomes Russell Wilson's play. Then you know what's not. Then you don't know what's going to happen. But with Brady, he still makes the decisions on where to throw the football. And even though you want me to do all this and all that, where's my outlet? And I'll hit that now. And that's his way of saying, I'm not doing this. I see that rush around my left tackle. So there's going to have to be a merging and an understanding for the Bucs to be successful.
So, Teddy, so you mentioned Seattle, and that's my next question. So you have a coach like Pete Carroll, who's a defensive coach, you know, a field position type of guy, and you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who really has never been a drop back, throw it 50 times guy. Like, we're going to run it, we're going to play action it, and then I'm going to make those big third down plays. But hell, last week against the Falcons, he was 31 of 35, really efficient, a really good, completion percentage. I mean, is that the new Seattle Seahawks offense? Are they going to sit there and grip it and rip it and throw the football down the field? Or do you think that they, I don't know, go back to their old ways and it's, you know, a similar situation like the Patriots?
I mean, Carson's a pretty good runner. I mean, he's one of the toughest tackles in the league in terms of strength and size at the running back position. Big, strong kid. So, he runs hard from what I hear and what I can see. So I'm sure there's still an element of them trying to pound the football and run the ball. I don't know if they have what it takes up front. I mean, I don't think this offensive line's in the class of the Patriots in terms of a power running game that you can develop, but your best player is Russell Wilson. And I think Pete may have the sort of philosophy that we just got to use him. And you know what? My guy's never gotten an MVP and never gotten an MVP vote. So maybe that's where we should start right here, because people need to see what kind of a special player this is. So if it takes 35 attempts or more, we'll do it. And so I think Pete is that type of coach, that he's at the point now that he's confident in his quarterback. And, you know, I think he will let him rip it some games all over the field.
You know, just real quickly, though, that is a thing. Do you think coaches actually focus on those accolades? Because I'm just looking at, you know, at their skill position. It's not like they're devoid of talent. I mean, the Patriots would love to have their receiving core.
Yeah, that's true. Do they think of those accolades or things? I mean, it could be in the back of their mind that, you know, but I think still you look at it, Pete sees it. I mean, Russell is one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And I think smart coaches would say, hey, he's in his prime. Why wouldn't I just use him over and over again? Because Russell has proven also that he knows how to protect himself and get down. So I think that this is, if anything, this is set up for a Russell Wilson, you know, big statistical year. Yes.
So, Teddy, you're going back saying that, you know, Seattle's front seven, maybe they can run against them, and we'll see if they're in that type of game where they're able to. But I want to ask you about Cam Newton, the 15 carries, because that's been the big talk, right? Is it sustainable? And a lot of those RPOs, it just works out that way, right? Like, how do you see them moving forward as far as Cam Newton running the football?
Yeah, I think you just, moving forward, they have to know that, just like I'm talking about with Brady, and that all those dropbacks, you want to put them in harm's way that many times, it's not going to work out. Because, I mean, how old is Cam? Is he 32 now?
31.
31,
yep.
Yeah, 31. So a 31-year-old quarterback that's basically your best running back, I mean, that's a 31-year-old. That's progressed in age also. So you want to take care of him. The two things I think that's got to happen is, you know, do you monitor his carries? Yes, but you have to. I mean, when the game's on the line, you got to give it to him. He's the best you got. I'll tell you this, though. They gotta just harp over and over again that this quarterback deserves to be protected. Because how many times have you seen these officials get in this funk to where, well, he's just bigger, faster, and stronger than everybody else, and they're gonna let him take those shots on him? There was one in the game where Cam actually slid to take a sack, and a defensive lineman just pounced on the top of him and delivered him a blow. I thought it should have been roughing the passer. I think those type of things, there needs to be reaction from everyone on offense whenever he's touched. Like, you got to fight. You got to make sure nobody can just get those cheap shots on your quarterback. Belichick's got to be in the officials' ears that, yeah, I see how big he is and how strong he is, but you better protect my quarterback, because they just can't have that for the course of an entire year.
So, Teddy, a good first week. They can run the football. The quarterback can run the football. The defense held a weak team down to 11 points. Seattle, Vegas, Kansas City, they're going to put points up on the board. What is this defense? How limited can they be? How much can they keep these teams down? And what do the Patriots do if they fall behind by two scores?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, is Cam going to be, you know, can he handle the, here comes the empty, here comes the, we know you're going to throw it when you have to throw it on a 3rd and 11 and you're down by 14 points. I think they struggle when that happens, because I don't think that's something that Cam can do on a consistent basis. What you want is, that is the picture-perfect example of winning New England Patriots football against the Miami Dolphins. Can they do that consistently? I don't know, because you're not going to get three turnovers a game. Maybe they will, because I was on here talking last week that this defense isn't going to be great. They can't take the ball away like they used to, but all of a sudden, they took it away three times. I mean, you get three turnovers for a power-running football offense, they are going to wear people out. So, once again, I still believe this has to be a defensive-dominated team. And the offensive line, that is so positive what you saw, because they just pounded those guys up front, and they can do it again. I think they have the advantage against the Seattle front.
But the problem that you have is there's no margin for error for that defense if you're going up against the elite quarterbacks, and that's what they're going to do here. Certainly a couple of them in the next couple of weeks. All right, Teddy, we'll talk to you next week, bud. Have a good one.
Guys, great to talk to you. Take care.
See you later.
All right, bro.
Teddy Bruschi right here on the Harbor One hotline.
So waiting on Cam.
This is interesting, isn't
From
it?
3:30 to 4:30.
So Cam Newton was scheduled to do a press conference at 3:30. For some reason, they rescheduled it at 4:30. It is 4:52, and the media is still waiting.
Oh, well, actually,
for Cam Newton.
We have a replacement. Jason McCourty just sat down, so Cam Newton will go after Jason.
Ooh, all right. Well, right when we come back.
This is interesting, huh?
Perfect timing.
This hour's been brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Adventure Days. Get your new 2020 Jeep Renegade today.